Welcome to The Lonely TARDIS, Season 2, Episode 15, Your Journey Through Time Lords and Space. This week, we're going to be chatting all about the 50th anniversary coming up here in about 2 weeks or so. All kinds of fun happening around that. I'm Dolly Domofsky, as usual, joined by the wonderfully esteemed cast of Stephen Strum.
Hello.
Marcus Beer.
Hello.
And making his fantastic return, Sean Norton.
Hello. Was I gone that long? Like, I don't.
It seems like it. Yeah.
Fantastic return. Okay. Well, good to be back.
I mean, technically speaking, we've all been gone for a while. It's been a while since we did this. So.
Well, technically speaking, I think some of us are gone and never coming back.
it's true. Yeah. Matt Smith, more than likely, never coming back. But really awesome, great to have you guys all back together chatting about the 50th anniversary. We have some awesome things taking place in Doctor Whoville over the next few weeks. I'm super excited. I'm sure you guys are as well. We're going to dive right into all the awesomeness. So really, the big story is 2 weeks from this Saturday is the 50th anniversary spectacular, the Day of the Doctor. And I'm really excited. You guys, I'm assuming, are also excited.
I have a question for you, Dolly.
Sure.
Who would you say is the Grinch of Doctor Whoville?
Ooh, the Grinch of Doctor Whoville?
Mm-hmm. this is a serious question. I need an answer. All
right, you know, that's a great question. Who is the Grinch of Doctor Whoville? I don't know. Maybe the Valyard, maybe? I don't know. Why, who do you think?
What was the? Wasn't there an old episode from like this from the early days with the Happiness Police, where no one was allowed to smile or laugh or anything like that or be happy, and then they fought him with like a robotic man made of candy or something like that. That sounds familiar to me. I'd say that person, whoever that was. I don't know. This has gone. That was not supposed to go this far.
That bit.
I think the Grinch is probably Davros. I mean, he's the guy who created the Daleks, and all the Daleks want to do is destroy everything.
That's true.
I feel like Davros has he has the Daleks by his side, though. The Grinch should be lonely, shouldn't he?
What about the Master? He seems to be out to just stop the Doctor and all his fun.
Well, the Grinch is Christmas time, so what great Christmas enemies have we had? What great antagonists during the holiday specials?
I mean, ironically, I think the most recognizable Christmas villain from Doctor Who is the robotic Santa Clauses. So technically Santa Claus is the Grinch of Doctor Whoville?
Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe? Yeah.
No. Santa's not. Yeah. Well,
you were saying something serious a minute ago, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was getting into the 50th anniversary, and the BBC has released the official synopsis of the 50th. Well, let's break down the schedule of events now that we have the actual schedule. On November the 21st, we are being treated to the Adventure in Space and Time, which is the kind of the dramatic portrayal of the creation of Doctor Who, that fated first episode. So that's going to take place on Thursday, the 21st of November. The 23rd, obviously, is the 50th anniversary Day of the Doctor. That's going to be simulcast around the world. What we have times in the U.S. for that? Is that like 2 p.m. Eastern time or something, or...
Well, considering there is a 5-hour difference between the UK and the East, and Doctor Who airs at 6.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be about 1 o'clock your time, or about, 10, 11 my time.
Here's how bad that situation is. I get off the plane at 1:45 p.m. On the Eastern Seaboard that day, which sucks for me because I'm basically not going to be seeing it live, so...
Where are you going?
I'm going to Germany. I have a project over in Germany. So I'll be over in Kaiserslautern for a couple weeks.
Well, that's your own fault. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry at all. Give me a break.
Give me a break. It's fantastic. So yeah, I'm imploring you. Nobody tweet about Doctor Who.
Don't worry, Dally. I'll tape it and I'll mail you a VHS.
Yeah,
tape it.
Yeah, right. But then on that following Monday, the 25th of November, you'll be getting the movie screenings in theaters, the 3D screenings.
Well, that's not entirely true because there are simulcast screenings of it as well, just in far fewer venues.
True. Yeah. There's something like, what did they say, 300 theaters in the U.S. that are going to be screening it, or something to that extent, 200 something, or.
Man, I want to say it's 300 on that following Monday, but I believe during the actual simulcast, it's only 15 venues, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
There's actually two in L.A. that are doing it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not going to either. I'm going to be in front of my own comfortable couch on my couch. I'm not going to be lining up with a bunch of tosters dressed like Doctor Who, screaming at everything, spoiling my enjoyment because they're diddling to Matt Smith.
What kind of theaters do you normally go to?
Have you not? Come on, you guys. You've been to Comic Con. Have you not been to see guys? I mean, you know, they love them to bits, but.
No,
yeah,
that's
I don't know if I can watch it live either. I have to go to a bachelor party that weekend, which I'm not complaining about, mind you, but it is a bit of a bummer that I won't be able to watch the show.
The nearest venue to me is a 4-hour drive away, and I actually did want to go do it just because I figured it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out how to buy tickets for it. I've gone onto the websites, and I can get tickets for the Monday showing, but the simulcast showing, it just said, here, sign up for our email list and you'll figure it out eventually. And I haven't heard anything from them since. So,
I still stick with the whole, there is nothing better than your own house, your own couch, your own snacks. Quiet, nobody getting in the way, nobody munching popcorn, nobody waving sonic screwdrivers in the air, and you can enjoy it yourself.
Well, nobody but you anyway. I mean, you keep it down just to yourself in front of your own screen, but by yourself in the room.
See, and I think that comes down to what people like. I mean, some people really like that whole, like, super crowded, everybody yelling at certain iconic lines or said kind of experience. But I absolutely can't blame you, Marcus, if you want to just hang at home and do it in the comfort of your own living room. I think that's a great way to go, too.
I think the only issue with watching it at home for me is that BBC America has really horrible cuts for commercials.
It's commercial free.
Oh, it's going to be commercial. Oh, well then.
If the simulcast has to be commercial free.
True.
Because BBC doesn't carry commercials.
Excellent. Excellent. Well then, that changes everything.
They will probably have commercials in it, but I would trust BBC America not to dick with this. Because they know that people will come and burn their offices to the ground. their worldwide headquarters are only 20 minutes away from me, so they've been warned.
This is the fan base that got pissed off about a cartoon Graham Norton walking across the screen during the Angels episode from season 5. So if they even put a commercial in there at any point, no, they would be burned off the face of the planet.
They'd be wise to avoid that. Well, I'm also going to be watching it at home, obviously, since I'll be getting off the plane. I'll have it DVR'd, but I do plan on heading to the theater that Monday just to kind of get that experience. I'm kind of curious as to how many Whovians there are in my neck of the woods. But I'm going to see both, and I might do, you know, some type of review of that experience, but I'm just kind of curious to see how theaters in the U.S. treat Doctor Who.
I'm sure 90% of them don't even know what they're signed up for.
More than likely. More than likely. Well, here is the synopsis, which once it was released earlier this week, I was super excited for some of the plot points. So really short synopsis. I'll read it, and then we'll chat about it afterwards. The Doctors embark on their greatest adventure in this 50th anniversary special. In 2013, something terrible is awakening in London's National Gallery. In 1562, a murderous plot is afoot in Elizabethan England. And somewhere in space, an ancient battle reaches its devastating conclusion. All of reality is at stake as the Doctor's own dangerous past comes back to haunt him. So there we go. So my very first thought is Time War.
Well, yeah. The ancient battle is almost definitely the Time War, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, is that where John Hurt's doctor is going to be the focus? I kind of see in each doctor is going to be in one of these different time frames, I guess, before they all come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know, we know that 10 has a history in that, or at least they've alluded to, I'm pretty sure that's the time period they've alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
When he's had some adventures. I mean, Marcus, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that when he's hanging out with the Queen and they've alluded to them having a little bit of a romance, or did that come like later?
He did. Ten did say something about hanging out with the Queen towards the end of his, literally the end of his run when he lands on the planet.
Right.
There's almost an allusion to him getting married to her at some point, wasn't there? I could have sworn that was a joke, a tossaway line.
Here is the actual, this is coming from TARDIS Data Core, which is the TARDIS wiki. It says Elizabeth I was a queen of England during the 16th and early 17th centuries, and apparently a spouse of the 10th Doctor.
So we'll probably get a glimpse. I imagine that it'll be kind of a rolling start with all of these guys. We'll see, like, each of them in the middle of their own adventure, and then, you know, some synchronicity event or whatever is going to drag them all into the same moment in time at the same time. So that's probably where we're going to pick off on the story proper.
I'm kind of interested to see, you know, where this takes Doctor Who for the Capaldi episodes, because if they are talking about messing with the Time War,
right, yeah,
and it all of a sudden, you know, being unlocked or whatever, because, you know, they've alluded to it over every season, you know, Daleks dribs and drab it, dribbing and drabbing through and so on, the Master, and you know, this would be almost the equivalent of a total reset on Doctor Who. I mean, this would, you know, put everything that went through the Russell T. Davis years and make it obsolete now, because we would have anybody and everybody who was involved in the Time War now back. So we would see the return of Gallifrey, the return of the Time Lords, the return of, you know, the Daleks again. You know, every single, you know, bad guy or whatever, or everybody who ganged up on the Daleks for that final battle. That could be, that is to me, is the most interesting thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. But they've created so much canon and so much history around the Time War and how the Time Lords fell from grace and what they became to win, that I would be very curious. I mean, obviously resets aren't exactly uncommon on this show, right? But I would be very curious to see how they handle all of that. And if the Time War does become unlocked, then does it go back to a point where, you know, the battles hadn't gotten to that? Or, you know, is it fallout from that? I mean, there's a lot of avenues they can go down. And it would make sense, I mean, given that, you know, the end of this past season, Moffat introduced an element that completely changes what we thought about the last 5 or 6 years, or before the last 5 or 6 years, you know, with John Hurt and everything like that. So
I agree with you guys. I do think that this is going to be kind of a moment where we're finally going to see a clean break from a lot of the Russell T. Davies established fiction. And it actually kind of reminds me of something DC is doing right now. They just started a comics event called The Return of Krypton, where obviously, you know, the planet Krypton, Superman's home world, sounds like is coming back into, you know, the main universe proper through some time travel ho-ho-ery. So I think that what we're going to see is Gallifrey is going to come back, and we're going to have more Time Lords all over the place, back like in the old days, Third Doctor kind of era stuff. And going forward, I think that Capaldi's Doctor will feel a little bit more like he's bumping around a more inhabited universe, a universe with a little bit more civilization to it, a little bit more rules. Because right now, it's sort of the rules of what is going on with civilization in the galaxy kind of are set by whatever story they need to tell. Because, you know, you see, like, the Doctor goes and he visits one alien planet, and that alien planet is a kind of sustained, self-contained entity, and it's got its own laws and its own rules and its own mythology. I think that we're going to see sort of the idea of a universe with a little bit more common threads through it, if we do see the Time Lords come back, especially since the Daleks seem to be, you know, back in full force again. You know, Skaro seems to be a thing again and everything like that. So that could be interesting, I think, if that's where they decided to take it.
Last time we saw it, it was destroyed.
Well, they, you know, they had the whatever, the battle fleets or whatever on above it, or they had some new home planet.
Well, oh, yeah. Skaro was destroyed, Mondas was destroyed, which is the home of the Cybermen, and then, you know, in the last season, the Silver Menace or whatever it was, we saw the return of those Cybermen.
Nightmare and Silver, yeah.
I'm hoping that this, because Capaldi's older, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the 50th, but I think it's, you know, this is the tipping off point.
Because
he is an older doctor, I'm hoping we get to return almost to the equivalent of the Tom Baker years, where he is, you know, he has more multi-part adventures. They're a little bit grander. You do have stuff, you know, you have the almost like the Gothic era, you know, the some of the stuff in Victorian London, and just you know, really sort of like up the ante a little bit like that, make it a little more chilling than it used to be, than it has been in recent years, because Norton, you know, Matt Smith has been great, but I yearn for that little bit more tension, and I also wonder if this is the countdown clock to the end of Stephen Moffat.
Oh, yeah. I think it definitely is.
It's such a launching pad. Like, if you look at it in segments, right, and Davies brings it back and sets the tone for New Who, and then he departs, and then Moffat comes in with Matt Smith, and they do the little reset because of the cracks in the universe, and the universe resets itself and whatever. And there's never really a clear idea of what did and didn't happen before, you know, with Amy not remembering the Dalek invasion of Earth at the end of season 4 or whatever, stuff like that. So now you've got the 50th and then the upcoming Christmas special, and then a new Doctor again. I agree 100%. I really think this is going to set the next stage, like this next segment of Who history, right? And it has the potential to change in tone and approach and all of this stuff. And it's really, really exciting, actually. Especially for those that might be a little fatigued from this, you know, latest Moffat run. So
I actually want to pose a question to all of you guys, and it's actually kind of, it was something I was thinking about before, but what Marcus just said about it kind of going back towards the Tom Baker era really kickstarted it in my mind again. Do you guys think it is the time of the sort of five-part episode, and that's your kind of season of Doctor Who? Do you think that time has passed? Do you think that just like modern television can't sustain that sort of thing, or do you think that that could, you know, come back one day, or, you know, in the future?
I don't think it can't be. It's a thing where it can't be sustained at all. I just think it depends on the showrunner and the creative teams involved. I mean, I think there's a way to do it, and like where you see these kind of, you just, it's kind of a blend of how it used to be, in my opinion, anyway. It's kind of a blend of how it used to be, and then how kind of like Davies and Moffat had these kind of underlying stories throughout a season. I think it's absolutely possible to condense those into 3, 4, or 5-part episodes or arcs or whatever. You see it in other shows too. So,
yeah, and I mean, in the UK, I mean, you know, we're talking about, obviously, you know, Tennant's going to be in the 50th, and he just came off Broadchurch. Was, you know, that's a police procedural, one story, was it 7, 8 episodes, incredibly well received. And I know Doctor Who is a different style show, but I mean, you know, if they can pull it off and if they get somebody in, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it's announced that the Christmas special is Moffat's last one, and they probably got somebody else in working on next season.
Right. Well, they, I believe they mentioned that the writer of they're already starting apparently working on the, well, obviously they started working on the season 8, but either the writer or the director is, which was traditionally Stephen Moffat ahead of time, is not Moffat now. I think it's somebody completely different, and somebody new to Doctor Who. I'm trying to dig up that information, but
for what? What role is this?
The director of the episode, writer and director is not, neither the writer nor the director is Stephen Moffat, or the producer.
For the Christmas episode?
No. For the first 2 episodes of season 8, series 8.
Okay.
I'm sure, I wouldn't doubt the direction, but I'd be very surprised if he's not writing Capaldi's first episodes.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
I mean, he'll get the Christmas special.
Yeah, but that's just going to be a regeneration. The Christmas special is still Matt Smith's farewell.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, and as far as I know, it's going to be how Tennant, it's similar to how Tennant went out.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this whole 50th anniversary as a big reset button for the Doctor. And I mentioned it in past episodes of TARDIS that I'm looking forward to just a fresh start. And I think Capaldi is perfect for the role. And I was really excited when they named him. So I think that whatever happens, which revolving around the Time War, I think is a perfect setup, because it was something that was kind of key to these first 7 years of the new series, I guess you could say, that we never got a glimpse of. So I'm hopeful and positive. I'm actually positive about a Doctor Who episode before knowing anything about it. Go figure. That this is going to be pretty cool and pretty groundbreaking, I think, for at least in Doctor Who mythology. There's a crazy theory that the one-hearted 10th Doctor, I know, is actually the 11th Doctor, and that Matt Smith is the 12th or 13th or something. There's a theory out there that the way the chronology works out is that Matt Smith is actually the final Doctor, and Capaldi is a brand new, the fresh start that the series needs to kind of show how they're going to prolong beyond that 13th regeneration type of thing. So there's a theory out there. I'm sure you can find it on Reddit. But I don't know, just this whole time frame from the 50th to the Christmas special to whenever season 8 starts, which I'm hearing now rumors are it may actually start earlier than fall. They're thinking there's a rumor that it might start April or May, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
Oh, I know. So there's a whole lot of stuff happening right now with Doctor Who. And like we said in the past, the popularity in the States is at an all-time high now. Marcus, you mentioned the cosplay. I was just at a local comic convention here in the Detroit area, and I must have seen like 20 Matt and Amy, Doctor and Amy floating around. So I think it's perfect timing to get people reacquainted and to start fresh with the Doctor.
And let it be known that I have nothing against cosplayers. I just don't want them getting in the way of my enjoying an episode of Doctor Who.
Sure,
I
mean, right.
I have the same opinion of babies, cute animals. Nothing gets between me and Doctor Who. And,
puppies.
There will be bloodshed.
So any other thoughts about the synopsis, just overall, maybe overall about the 50th, anything else that has popped in your guys' head? I know there's been a lot of like smaller news bites along the way, maybe just concerning the 50th anniversary. So let's talk real quickly about Adventures in Space and Time, which premieres 2 days beforehand. I was hoping it'd actually premiere maybe a few weeks before that, but it looks like it's going to be just a couple days beforehand, which stars the kind of the William Hartnell Doctor, fantastic actor, by the way, taking that role. But are you guys interested in seeing that?
Oh, very much so. I mean, for me, I'm sorry to jump in, but yeah. I mean, it's I'm glad that they're doing it a couple of days before, because it's going to get me into the mood. I've got a funny feeling BBC America is just going to have a full Doctor Who takeover. But yeah, I mean, the whole drama behind it. I mean, anybody who's read some of the Doctor Who history books, if you will, that talk about the troubled production and a lot of the crap they went through, and Hartnell and how he was sick for a lot of the time. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of that. And I think it's going to be interesting for people to see how times have changed, and how this global phenomenon, which it is now, very nearly didn't happen.
Right.
It was, only brought in as a response to something a rival TV station was doing.
Yeah, I'm generally not a huge sort of documentary or biopic guy, but obviously when the source material is something that I'm so passionate about, I'm definitely really interested. And I think, like Marcus said, the fact that it's coming out like 2 days ahead of the 50th is great, because it's a great just sort of ease me back into Doctor Who, because it's been gone for so long, and just kind of get me into the Doctor Who mindset and And for me too, I think other than Marcus, most of us in here probably discovered Doctor Who later, other than those of us who may have watched it on like PBS as kids. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to get to see a little bit of the goings on of that world back in that day when most of what I've seen from it is just, you know, old recordings of old episodes and stuff like that. I never knew those actors and those people as they were still doing the show. And so getting to see a little bit into their lives is super, super interesting to me.
I'm just excited to see how they recreate that era, just more from the cinematography standpoint and you know, what went into some of the planning around the science fiction about it. I'm hoping they touch on some of that.
Well, let's face it. If anybody can do a period drama, it's the Beast.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. I think that's the one guarantee in all of this, right? In the very least, they get that aspect of all of this right. Is the framing and the time and all that kind of setup. So,
this is exactly the sort of thing that I would love to hear. Masterpiece Theater opening from Downton Abbey. At least the source material actually seems like the sort of thing that I would expect to be rerun on PBS and stuff like that. So,
no offense, but as somebody who didn't discover it via Masterpiece Theater on I would not be impressed. I mean, I barely tolerated the BBC America Amy Pond voiceover.
That was awful.
What's this?
You know, that was like just insanely annoying. I mean, I liked Amy most of the time, but you know, oh, it's all about the companion. It's like, yes, fine. It's called Doctor Who. It's not called, you know, Ginger Scottish Bird.
So that voiceover thing at the beginning of those episodes was a BBC America only thing. That wasn't a British thing either.
That was only here.
It was BBC America only because people didn't understand what the Doctor was about.
Oh, I did not know that either.
It sucked.
That's terrible. I remember hearing that for the first time, and I was just being my brother saying like, "God, this is so stupid." And I'm like, "Well, you got to understand. People don't." I was just trying to defend it because at the time, because it was just that was at the height of my Doctor Who love at that point. So the show could do no wrong. Now, of course, I'm cynical and jaded about the whole thing, and just like, you know, fuck everything.
I was so confused because I had been watching for years and I had never seen that intro before. And I was like, what the hell is this? And it's just so unnecessary.
Yeah, if they'd have had that in the UK, there would have been riots.
That'd be like every NFL match in the US starting 75 years ago, one man picked up the ball and ran with it.
That sounds exactly like the sort of thing NFL would do.
Yeah, totally right. You can see the riot taking place.
No, that's basketball.
Yeah, that's basketball, exactly. So other awesome 50th anniversary. It really has been kind of a great couple months here for Doctor Who stuff. The as I mentioned,
that leads me to something I wanted to talk to you guys about a little bit as kind of an aside. How do you feel? Because I remember thinking about this way back early this year when we had no idea what the plans were for anything yet. How do you feel the ramp up has been in terms of marketing for this and promoting it and getting everybody excited? And because I kind of feel like it's kind of kicked in the last couple weeks, mostly with just the theater stuff and then confirmation of the dates and when stuff's going to simulcast and all that. But I don't know. To me, I feel like it just doesn't feel as epic. And I don't know if that's maybe because they know the fan base is there and everybody knows it's coming, but I kind of thought there would be a lot more and you'd kind of see it everywhere.
So, I mean, I know there's been stuff taking place in the UK and in Australia with some of the pop-up Doctor Who museums and stuff.
That could be it too. I am geographically nowhere near the home base.
But, you know, I would have thought that maybe more stuff would have happened online. I guess because there was no set schedule announced ahead of time, you know, maybe if they had told us something in August, like, hey, here's the plan for, you know, for Doctor Who. But they have kind of made it a year-long event. And by that, I mean with the ebooks that have been published. I know, like I said, Neil Gaiman has his book has just been released, and they've created a compendium, which gets released on the 21st of this month, of all the books. And then the BBC America have been doing the specials, like each doctor. They've been replaying one or two episodes from each doctor after the specials, which were really cool.
Right.
It was my first time actually seeing the Doctor Who TV movie. Yeah, so we'll have to talk a whole separate episode about that, definitely.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. They've been doing episodes on the companions, on the monsters. So BBC America has been, and the BBC have been pushing this stuff. There hasn't been a ton of advertising, maybe only because it may be a personal thing that I just don't have BBC America on all the time in my home. But there hasn't been a lot of stuff online, and that's usually where I get the majority of my information from.
You've got to remember that, I mean, with the US especially, I mean, we're just coming off Halloween.
Sure.
And Halloween is a huge thing here in the US. And the other thing is that the show airs the week before Thanksgiving as well. So they have to temper it somewhat. They don't have, obviously, the world's hugest budget to advertise on anywhere that isn't BBC America.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would say that, you know, we're going to see the ramp up hitting. I don't think it's a major issue, to be honest with you. I mean, like you said, they've done so much of it. There's been, you know, so much, so many events. I mean, I've loved, on the whole, I've loved the Doctors Revisited.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Agreed with some of the episodes they've picked, but, you know, that's not a personal preference. I mean, but I've also found it's an interesting, an interesting primer of who we can and shouldn't expect to see for the 50th episode. Because there are obviously actors who did not participate.
Right.
And, you know, the most recent one was obviously David Tennant. And, you know, they didn't have Rose Tyler. They didn't have Donna Noble.
Mm-hmm.
They did have David Tennant, obviously, because his love for the series is just insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had Captain Jack, but I mean, you know, who will we see and who won't we see? And then you go to the Ninth Doctor one, and Eccleston wasn't even involved. When I think all the other Doctors, I think Tom Baker had been involved, Lester McCoy. I mean, they'd all been involved in this remake. And I know Peter Davidson and Colin Baker were both actively campaigning to be involved in some way, shape, or form in the 50th. So, I mean, that is honestly, I mean, obviously you can't have too much clutter, but as somebody who watched the Three Doctors and the Five Doctors, and if they don't have, you know, if they don't have a version of Tom Baker in there, they don't have a Peter Davidson in there, even if it's just a, you know, a cameo in some way, shape, or form, it doesn't have to be the crux of the show. If Donna Noble, well, perhaps Donna Noble, given the storyline that was created for her without losing her mind, you know, if Torchwood or Captain Jack isn't involved, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed, to be honest with you. I hope it's not just Moffat. This is Moffat's Who, and we're putting in David Tennant and Rose Tyler as acknowledgement of the fact that they are probably the two most popular, you know, Doctor and companion of, you know, of the recent years. But I really would be pissed if this is just Stephen Moffat slapping his dick out and saying, yeah, this is my world, this is my show now, and I'm retconning everything, and these other characters didn't exist, because they've brought, you know, those other characters that Russell Davies brought in and the previous writers over the years, they have contributed and got Doctor Who to where it is. And that is my one concern. I've got a funny feeling it's going to be too much 11 and too much New Who.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100%. I was going to say actually, that when we were talking about, you know, just the general synopsis before, I just hope it's good. I just want the show to be good. And we, and again, earlier this year, we talked a lot about, you know, what we wanted to see versus what we were starting to be disappointed in hearing who wasn't going to be in and whatever. But I'm with Marcus 110%. I still am, even with tempered expectations. I do still expect that kind of stuff, even if it is the cameos or the, you know, inserted in the background or whatever. But yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me just throw this in real quick, Stephen. I have tempered myself, I guess, only because I've seen a lot of the leaked images and the trailer, which focuses on the latest Doctors and kind of has the rest, you know, that really awesome teaser trailer they did, where it just has these short snippets, these still images of the different Doctors, and then kind of focuses on Matt Smith at the end. And then some of those leaks where we had, you know, the scarf or the cane or whatever, you know, things that were kind of iconic, but they're just in the background. Even though I would have loved to see every Doctor somehow involved for the 50th, I think funding probably had a lot to do with what they could, or at least partly to do with what they could do. And then maybe part of it is Moffat just swinging his screwdriver around, I guess. But I've tempered myself to the point where I just want it to be a really good, really fun episode.
Well, I think we all want that, but thing you've got to remember is that this is the 50th anniversary, and the 50th anniversary means that they should, you know, a good writer will find a way to include previous regenerations. You know, I mean, the one thing that's worrying me, and it's going back to this whole one-hearted David Tennant Doctor, I think that's the Doctor we're getting.
No.
What happened? What did they do? They sealed Rose off in a parallel universe with one-hearted Tennant.
Yeah, but didn't people confirm that Tennant's, like, or Ten's TARDIS was seen?
I thought that was one of the leaked images or one of the leaks.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Didn't we have an episode of Doctor Who not so long ago where the TARDIS basically said that it cached old control rooms.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right, but on the outside, people were saying on the outside it looked like Tens. I'll temper my expectations. I'll keep it low and I'll be happy, but that's where I draw the line. I draw the line at this alternate universe, one-hearted half-human Doctor. I refuse.
This is what happens when you invite me on these things, guys.
No, I agree, and you're bringing up a very valid thing. It concerns me to the point where I that is something I refuse to believe. I refuse to believe they would bring him back and not have him cross over with Matt in his 11th and then 10 proper. I refuse to believe it.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. If as far as I'm concerned, and let's face it, my opinion and $1.50 will buy you a coffee. as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to bring back David Tennant's Doctor, the two-hearted, the mm-hmm. one who traveled with Donna and all that, and not this one-hearted human amalgam, you have to bring back everybody. You have to find a way to include everybody. And I think Stephen Moffat could not be asked. He knew he had to put David Tennant in there as the most popular one. He wanted to bring back Rose Tyler, and God knows why, because she still gets on my nerves.
We agree on that, too.
You know, What are we looking at? What's the best way to do it? Mm-hmm. Oh, parallel universe. Because, I mean, there's the other big cliffhanger that they haven't even talked about, and I'm so looking forward to seeing what dongle Stephen Moffat's going to do to get us out, get the Doctor out of this. But the Doctor is trapped within his own time stream.
Mm-hmm.
He was trapped with Clara mm-hmm. in his own time stream. That's where he sees the John Hurt version. You know, for the first time or whatever, we're going to see him. So does this all take place within his timeline? And if it does take place within his timeline, why annex off any of the other, any of the other characters? I mean, it's obviously, driving us all nuts.
I wouldn't be surprised if this episode opens up after that and they don't even address him getting out of his time stream.
Oh, that would be an absolute copper by Moffat. And,
It would not surprise me at all.
Steven, you were going to say something. Sorry we kept cutting you off.
Yeah. No, it's – yeah, apparently I'm a member of this show. Am I? Back to the very, very, very original thing that Marcus pointed out. Kind of one of the things that I'm concerned about with the way that this thing is going specifically, I'm talking about you guys mentioning that, like, we want to see as many cameos mm-hmm, and as mm-hmm. much reference to the original material as we possibly can. I'm kind of worried about the fact that this isn't just a full 2 hours
you know, that this didn't, well, apparently this didn't warrant either in budget or in runtime on the BBC's or on regular network or whatever. It didn't warrant a full, like, 180 minutes, or not 180 minutes, 120 minutes, sorry. That kind of bothers me. I mean, maybe
it's kind of a bummer, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. And it is kind of annoying. And I mean, let me give you a little bit of the backdrop to what the BBC is working with right now. The Tory government, the Conservatives in the UK, are trying their damnedest to, you know, and have done for years to try and defund the BBC and get rid of the license fee, and have made sure that they have, put these restrictions in place since they've come into power, that the BBC has to do X, Y, and Z of, you know, community stuff, and has to do this, and has to take funding on top of everything else, take funding, you know, from certain areas and put them into other areas. And Doctor Who, because it's entertainment and they have to put X amount into, like I said, community programming, and have to put stuff into news and all this other stuff, despite Doctor Who being the cash cow that funds way more of the BBC than perhaps even the license fees do, they are under constraints. They are under a lot of accountability because of the assholes that are the Conservative government. You know, they've always wanted to defund and force the BBC to take ads and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of people are pushing back at it, but, you know, that's one of the reasons that Torchwood ended up going overseas and then dying a death. you know, again, it's one of these reasons that Doctor Who has been cut back, and it's nothing to do with, you know, Moffat or anybody else. I mean, you know, it's because of these funding issues that the government is forcing on the BBC. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to the next election when they're all out on their assholes, and I think the damage is being done.
You think that'll happen? Just as a quick non-Who sidebar.
Well, the Conservatives getting out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're messing with too many institutions right now. They've messed with the NHS, and they're messing with the BBC, and, you know, a lot of other things. And they are so out. I mean, it's the equivalent of, you know, they've turned into almost the Republicans here. Not quite as batty as the Republican Party, but they're on the way.
Yeah.
This kind of ties into something that all of us kind of come from, because we're all video game people, obviously. But I think there's an interesting conversation to be had about the government talking about giving tax breaks to video game companies that can produce video games that are quintessentially British. Meanwhile, the government is trying to throw Doctor Who on its ass, which is something that is quintessentially British and is probably the most popular British export in terms of entertainment in the world right now.
Yeah, but I mean, look, we're talking about the Tory government here. They wouldn't know their ass from their elbow if you drew them a map. Most of them are soulless, charmless individuals with no warmth about them whatsoever. They wouldn't watch Doctor Who. You know, they're probably more concerned with A Night at the Opera or whatever. You know, they're elitist snobs. You're talking to a guy who was raised during the Thatcher era.
Ugh.
You know, cronies also tried to butcher the BBC.
And it's unfortunate, you know, it all circles back to this budget stuff, and we've heard that they've been fighting it for a while and doing what they can with the show in spite of these constraints, and it's a shame. And you're seeing shortened seasons because of it. You're seeing seasons, you know, either getting cut in half or starting later in the year or whatever, and that's a shame. And it is very unfortunate that the show suffers because of that. And this should have been the time of all times where they should have gotten, you know, the go ahead to make a feature length, you know, movie, you know, the 50th or whatever, 2 hour 50th special or whatever. I mean, whatever else these, you know, and I don't know if we'll ever actually hear about it, but whatever else these kind of budget implications had, and it's a damn shame.
Well, you know, how remember from the very earliest days of recording The Lonely TARDIS. I've been basically saying that the only time I would want to see a Doctor Who movie, even if it was just a made-for-TV movie, was if they just went all out and did a movie about the Time War, possibly starring Paul McGann. You know, I guess now we know that John Hurt would, I guess, be that version of the Doctor. And it seems like this is sort of the middle step there, because now we're going to see a little bit of the Time War. Obviously, it's not entirely about it, but I bet this is kind of the clean break away from the Time War mythology. And this is about as close as I'm going to get to that. And the fact that it isn't a full-length movie just kind of crashes all of my expectations down around me.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I read somewhere today or yesterday that it's going to be 75 minutes, which...
Yeah, 76, yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay.
76 minutes and 14 seconds. Right. Something like that.
So, I mean, it's better than 40 or 50, but it's still criminally short, in my opinion. And I say that, of course, without seeing it. For all I know, it's going to be the best 75 minutes in Who history, but...
It's the best 75 minutes of your life.
I have some doubts about that, given recent Who television. So,
well, there has been a lot of great things that have been happening. I know we Sean, you mentioned that it didn't seem quite like the hype was there, but. Let me just kind of go over some of the great things that have happened. I did mention those ebooks. Neil, here's the synopsis for Neil Gaiman's. It's called Nothing O'Clock, just released last week. It says, Nothing O'Clock stars the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith Doctor, with Amy Pond as his companion. And this is Gaiman speaking. He says, I said it somewhere during the first season of Matt Smith, mostly on Earth, in our time now and in 1984, but also somewhere else, a very, very long time ago. I'd never created an original monster for Doctor Who. Really enjoyed getting to create a creepy Doctor Who monster of the kind that we haven't quite seen before. I hope the kin, which is what they're called, the kin, will get out there and occasionally give people nightmares, and that you will be worried if a man in a rabbit mask comes to your door and tries to buy your house. So that's Neil Gaiman's synopsis.
It's nice to see Neil Gaiman breaking out of his shell of just doing sort of Victorian-y kind of villains and, you know, hitting up the Southern... Southern American villains with the kin. I'm very excited to see these inbred hillbilly monsters finally make it onto Doctor Who.
The rabbit real estate agents, right? Rabbit mask. So there's been a lot of ebooks. I haven't read any because I've been waiting. I wanted to read them all at once and get the compendium. So looks like I'll grab that when I get back. But have any of you read any of these?
I haven't. I'm saving them for the rabbit.
Yeah,
I'm going to download them all, and then I'm also kind of hoping that they'll turn them into proper books.
Sure, yeah.
I'm an old man. This ebook malarkey. there's a reason I went bananas at a used bookstore and bought 20 old Doctor Who books about 3 months ago. I like to be able to read in my bed without worrying about a power supply going out and crap like that. So.
So there is a compendium coming, an actual printed compendium. So that's something that we have to look forward to.
Yay, score one for the old people.
I'm a less old person, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
There are some books that I would very much, I would always want in that form, right? Mm-hmm. I would want them on my shelf. I'd want to show them off. I'd want to be able to pick them up whenever I want.
Right.
And I think Doctor Who, for me, I guess for you guys too, would fit into that category. So,
have any of you read any of the Doctor Who comics or graphic novels over the last couple of years? not the Star Trek one, which was an abomination.
I was really excited about the Star Trek one until you told me it sucked.
Oh, it's so horrible! It is so horrible.
I haven't read any of the recent ones, but they have started republishing the stuff from Doctor Who magazine in the 80s.
Yes.
Which I have two of them so far.
Oh, great.
That's one of the greatest spin-off characters of all time, who I would love to see get his own show. And it's Absom Dark Dalek Killer. Imagine Wolverine with a chainsaw in the Doctor Who universe.
Oh, man. That's great. That is... No wonder it originated in a comic book.
Yeah, well, it was from a lot of the guys who did work on 2000 AD as well.
Okay.
He is one of my. He appeared in actually one of the Doctor Who annuals, which is the Christmas compendium book that they release every year. And I managed to find it, and I was absolutely tickled pink to be able to see it. And it was a Tom Baker adventure, and then he had his own spin off after that spin off couple of stories.
So I'm a very, very big comic book person. I probably spend upwards of $30 minimum per week on new comics. I've looked at the current monthly for Doctor Who and the Prisoners in Time one-off series. Man, I wish they put as much care and attention into the current comic book series as they did to the show sometimes, because the art is just not very appealing.
The art of the like, new books.
It's yeah, just,
the
old, it's,
the David cool. Gibbons stuff, and that's the thing that you're referencing, right? Marcus, David Gibbons' work was fantastic.
Really Dave Gibbons is a fucking like national, or you know, he's a planet-wide treasure. He's an amazing artist. I love Dave Gibbons. But God, yeah, the current series just it is clear that it is not firing on all cylinders. Which is actually, I'm a little bit disappointed that IDW currently owns the licensing rights to that series, and IDW is just basically, in terms of comic books, for people who don't know, is just a licensed book farm. Sure. They're the guys who do the Star Trek books, and they're the guys who do the Transformers books.
Yeah,
and
Ultron, all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I would love to see Image take the Doctor Who license. Even Dark Horse. Dark Horse is kind of a midway point between the super high quality independent stuff from Image and the crappy licensed stuff of that is IDW. And they kind of do good licensed stuff. They just started a new Star Wars series written by Brian Wood, who's a award winning author, and it's actually a very good series. I would love to see somebody like that take over, because IDW just does not provide the same level of love and care to the properties that they work with that others could. And, God, just, yeah, go out and get those old magazine issues and those compendiums, because they're very nice compendiums.
Well, I think there's a problem. There is a problem with BBC's licensing department, you know, in general. In that I think they don't really get the best way to really do this. And I've said this before on the show that I think, you know, they're missing a trick with, you know, with the crappy minifigs that they've got, when they could really license that to Lego.
The Titans.
Yeah. And, you know, they could really nail something. And then you look at the, they don't really, they can make a fortune out of the statuettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't really have anything good like that. They don't have any of the high quality Kotobukiya stuff, or you know the guys who do the Spawn stuff. I mean, they could, you know, really do some amazing collectibles. And for some reason, I don't know whether it's this, you know, inherent dumb Britishness that, you know, we all suffer from, you know, in my homeland, but they just can't seem to get that working. And you know, that would be such a revenue stream, and people would be happy to buy it. I know, you know, I would. I think they just they're missing a trick with how they license Doctor Who. And I think it's because, you know, again, they've got people in there who are like, oh, well, it's a kid's show. That's all it is. So we have to make it all the stuff available and affordable for the kids in it.
Just another thing that ties into our stuff is the video games. A Doctor Who video game could be a very cool thing, could be a very interesting thing. Like, imagine a sort of knockoff Walking Dead style of gameplay in Doctor Who universe, and yet they give it to the people that they give it to. You know, they give it to, they gave the Eternity Clock game to the guys who made Sackboy's Prehistoric Moves.
I'm going to cry. Don't. I got that. My friend was the PR rep for BBC here in the US, and she sent me the code, and I played it. And I mean, I wanted to punch my PlayStation. I mean, I also, like I said, I think BBC is just, they need somebody in there who can actually understand you know, their demographic and what they can do. We've talked about a Walking Dead game, which would be fantastic. I'm still saying that a Lego game.
Yes.
Especially after playing Marvel Superheroes, which is
the
best Lego game ever. And it's probably the best Marvel game ever. I mean, are you telling me that the guys at Traveller's Tales in the UK would not kill to get their hand on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That just, and it hits all, that specifically hits all of those areas, right? I mean, Traveler's Tales, they're a storied developer. They do good work. They're British, and they can make games that appeal to kids as well as adults. So you'd think it would be a no-brainer just to give the license to them. But
you know, Marcus, you mentioned Walking Dead, and I had an idea just now. What if we gave it to Telltale?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you could do a couple of different versions. And I mean, I wasn't the one Walking Dead suggestion, by the way. I mean, that wasn't me.
I thought someone just said Walking Dead. Oh, my bad. Apologies.
Steven said.
No worries.
But yeah, I think, yes, you could give it to Telltale. You could have multiple versions of Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
You have multiple Walking Deads. And one would hope that the Doctor Who's would be way better than the other versions of the Walking Dead.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you know, does it scream out for a point-and-click adventure? Oh, God, yes, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for that, the writing has got to be phenomenal, or otherwise we'll end up with a David Cage game.
Yeah. But, I mean, and now, I just reviewed the first episode of The Wolf Among Us, and that was written by different guys over at Telltale, because obviously the guys who did the most of the primary work on The Walking Dead don't actually work at Telltale anymore, and they've proven to me at least that they can do a story. Mm-hmm. Like The Walking Dead wasn't a fluke. Like those guys are good storytellers. They can tell good stories in established universes, and I think Doctor Who would easily fit over there, even without those. Oh God, I'm forgetting both of the guys' names. It was Jake Rodkin, and I think was one of them, and was it Nick Brecken?
Nick Brecken, yeah.
Okay. They left, but obviously they didn't work on The Wolf Among Us, and I think The Wolf Among Us, at least the first episode, is stronger than most of what The Walking Dead was. So I think the talent is there. And like Marcus said, you could definitely do multiple Doctor Who games. It's like the Marvel Universe analogy is great, because you have the Marvel Lego game now, and that's a family game. It's for kids and everything. But then you also have the Spider-Man games, or, you know, even Batman. There's DC Lego games, but then there's Arkham City, which is obviously not for kids. And yeah.
I'd love to, like, the opportunity to do different Doctor Who games is great, because you have different doctors that could be a different style, right? You can have the Tom Baker doctor could be in, or they could have all the doctors in the Lego game, and you can have a Matt Smith do an adventure game, and you can have David Tennant do something else. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunities.
Get a co-op mode.
A Dalek RTS game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Daleks, Cybermen, Time Lords. How great. Great with that.
Sure.
Yep.
I think, you know, just touching back on Fables and The Wolf Among Us, I'd love to see those guys do Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Those guys doing Doctor Who, because I got into that because of the podcast I do with Game Trailers. And I have to say that I ended up buying literally 10 books from Amazon in the space of a couple of weeks, and devouring them, because of the way they take on something that we all know and, you know, and love. And yes, I could see them doing an amazing job with Doctor Who.
And let's not forget, they did say that they just got the license, their dream license product to work on. Let's hope it's Doctor Who and not Star Wars.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No.
So
I would lose my mind.
Yeah. So there are a couple more quick news bites that I think are still very cool. The lost episodes have been released. So there were those missing episodes. Now I haven't watched them. I've downloaded them for my my flight and my trip to Europe, but they take place. They're both Patrick Troughton episodes. There's this 2 6-part series. Says the stories recovered are. I'm reading from Blogter, who our friends over there. Stories recovered are The Enemy of the World from 1967 and The Web of Fear from 68. Both of them are, again, Patrick Troughton. The Enemy of the World is a 6-part tale of series 5. And so they recovered episodes 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Those are the ones that had been missing. And I think episode 3, they created, or they animated it. And then Web of Fear, episodes 2 through 6 were lost, but they thought they were lost. But now 2, 4, 5, and 6 have been recovered. So they said episode 3 is still missing, but a restoration team has reconstructed this part of the story using a selection of images and animation and audio and things like that. So it's kind of interesting to see how they put these together.
I love when these stories pop up because mm-hmm. I dream of a world where every single episode of Doctor Who that was ever shot is returned to us.
Yeah.
You know, that would be great if we could one day, you know, some guy has a, you know, BBC VHS that he taped, you know, somewhere out there, and they, you know, upscale that and bring it over, and we bring it out now one day.
The story of these is really wild. I think wasn't it basically like some guy was cleaning out like a garage or something in Nigeria and just happened upon these canisters of film and said, oh, I wonder what these are, and took it to a local shop to have them examined and said, oh crap, this is Doctor Who. I mean, it's that's how these things are discovered. So they had such bad.
I'm waiting for the email scam to start. My dear friend, I have found pictures of Doctor Who. Send me $10,000 and your bank account, and I can send them to you.
Here, this is what it says. Okay, so a gentleman named Philip Morris found them. He said the tapes had been left gathering dust in a storeroom at a television relay station in Nigeria. I remember wiping the dust off the masking tape on the canisters, and my heart missed a beat as I saw the words Doctor Who. When I read the story code, I realized I'd found something pretty special. I'm excited about that. So yeah, I've downloaded them off iTunes. I think they're available on iTunes. I don't know if they're available yet on DVD or maybe they just released them. I'm not sure, but yeah.
There you go, international broadcast syndicates. All of you out there, start rifling through your garages and hold these canisters for ransom from the BBC until they give you another season next.
It's like Nigeria of all places, you know, like you wouldn't expect Doctor Who to be in the middle of Africa, but there you go. So yeah, that bit of news I thought was fantastic. And I'm definitely looking to watch those. And really finally the last bit revolves around something Moffat said in a recent interview. I think it was right after Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, but he was talking about the TARDIS, the intro with the flying TARDIS, and how in the back of his mind he'd always been thinking of what that would look like. How could you really make that into a really cool effect, a cool journey? Well, the whole 3D TV stuff or the 3D visual effects, he said, just play right into that warp, that time field traveling TARDIS, and he's been waiting long and hard to be able to actually create it, and says this is the perfect opportunity. It's going to blow people's minds when they first see it. So is anybody going to watch the episode in 3D, or am I the only one? I'll watch them both, but I want to see the effects. Yeah.
If I wind up doing the theater thing, because I think there's someone near me the Monday night following it, I might.
Sure.
But that would be it for me. That would be – I would have no other opportunity, and I have – no strong desire to do that anyway, but I've also pretty like I just don't like or care about 3D 99% of the time. So my personal opinion is whatever.
Steven, Marcus, are you guys interested in the 3D aspect of the episode of the series? Well,
it's one of those ones that if they slap it on the Blu-ray, I will have. I mean, I've got a monitor that I can plug in that is 2D compatible. So yeah, it would be a curiosity thing, but I really don't like the 3D stuff.
It's sure. Just like...
Let me tell you my opinion on 3D. The first ever movie that I felt not only had good 3D, but actually enhanced the experience of the movie. And this is, bear in mind, what year did Avatar come out and it kicked off this whole nonsense 3D craze?
I think it was like 07 or 08 or something.
07 or 08. So we're talking we're talking at least 4 years since the 3D craze started, and just about every movie comes out in 3D now. The first ever movie that I felt actually had 3D that didn't demonstrably make the film worse and actually made it better was Gravity, which came out about 3 weeks ago. So that's my opinion on 3D.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in 3D as well. The wife dragged me to see it, and I didn't actually have major issues with the 3D in that one. It was one of the few that didn't give me the headache. I had more issues with the film, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, by no means is Gravity a good film. I'd like just a side story or, side note here.
I'm with you. I think 3D is still a fad. Until they can do holograms, they can all just know that.
Yeah. No, I want that scene from Paycheck where Ben Affleck says, "I didn't like the monitor, so I got rid of it." And he pulls the monitor away, and it's just a hologram lady. That's what I want for Doctor Who.
Yeah, way back. Paycheck. TARDIS doesn't even have hologram capabilities yet.
The TARDIS is only 16-bit, guys. The TARDIS is only 720p. On that note, I really want to thank you guys.
Don't bite.
I want to thank you guys for joining me this week. I had a blast talking to Doctor Who. The next time we get together will be after the 50th. So these next 2 weeks are going to be awesome. I'm really excited. I'm going back through all my my Doctor Who archives. I'm starting to rewatch episodes and I'm really getting excited. So
it's kind of funny. That excitement really is in the air and it's cool, but we've reached a point where we didn't even predict anything. We were just kind of like, well, we really hope it's good. Please be good. And please have all the things in it.
I think we've just been tainted over the last couple of years.
Well, I think like we're just at the point now where we just want this, right? Yeah, like, and it's almost here and we're 2 or 3 weeks away and it's just like I don't even want to predict. Like I just want it to be here.
Yep.
It's like new consoles.
Yep. It's there you go. It's a TARDIS console. Thank you, Stephen, again for joining. Thank you, Sean, for making your wild return.
Pleasure's always
We finally checked you down for time and space. Thank you, Marcus, as usual.
Well, thank you for having me and providing lots of points that you all agree with. So I'm off.
Sure. Yeah. You can find.
Must be a nice change of pace for you recently.
Exactly.
It's always. I talk to Stephen a lot of times after we record these episodes, and I keep telling him, it's really bizarre. We always leave this episode like smiling. It's like the only time we ever do a gaming related or we ever do a podcast or anything media related where we're in a good mood.
that has been a point of discussion. We haven't done a video game podcast in months because we just argue ourselves hoarse on all of those. But
Doctor
on this
brings
one,
it all together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everyone together.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can find Stephen. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Stephen Strom, StevenStrom. I'm also freelancing all over the place now. So hopefully you can find me at some other places as well. But you can basically just follow me on Twitter to figure out where. So,
Sean, where can we find you?
Yeah, Twitter works for me at Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON.
Marcus?
You can find me in the seventh layer of hell, a place reserved for those who pick on Sony. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Annoyed Gamer, and then I have three shows on game trailers, Annoyed Gamer, Invisible Walls, and the new Pop Culture Podcast, which is I'm actually going to be doing a Doctor Who specific episode in a couple of weeks.
Excellent.
I am writing right now.
Awesome. We will definitely link that up and we'll be sharing it with our
looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. And you can find me at Cool Rats, KEWLRATS, and all over the place. And that's it. You can find our wonderful podcast on Twitter at Lonely TARDIS, lonelytardis.com. I believe that's our address. And of course, iTunes, please rate us, review us. That helps. Share us. Tell all your friends about us.
We are nothing without you, listeners.
Right. We do this for fun. And that's it. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys after the 50th. Bye.
Bye. Bye.